Father God, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the message you have been giving right now. Please continue to teach us the ways you want us to reach people. In Jesus' name, amen.
I feel sorry for the individuals that aren't back in time. We waited 3 extra minutes, and they're going to miss. tell them that they missed the most important thing. Every step of this is the most important. I want to give you a final quiz right now. We're not near the end. Hey, Tony, look on my computer. Tell me what slide we're on, because I got to gauge where we're at. Tony reworked this for me because I had spelling errors and I had old pictures and stuff. He made it nice for me. Where are we at? You can take it out and put it back in, whatever. Look at... yeah. I haven't had any notes or anything. I'm just winging it here. But let me give you a final quiz. Yeah. What's the most important decision for decision making?
Ask.
Huh?
Ask.
Getting one.
Getting one. It's a 3-letter word.
Ask.
Yeah. I can't make it any simpler than that. Yeah. Okay, give everybody a kiss. Keep it simple, stupid, he said. Yeah, I like that too.
150 more slides.
Okay. No, where are we at?
37 more.
And how many have I done?
14.
Okay. I can make the other ones quick. So, all right, so here we go. Obstacles to making decisions. Preaching or studying without asking for a decision leads to a negative decision. Let me illustrate that.
Should we have that?
Yeah, I don't know. But whatever it is, you can take additional notes. I think it's in there, yeah. So, if you give a Bible study... I'm really going to make this sink home for you. If you give a Bible study and you don't ask for a decision and you don't give them enough information to make a good decision, you know what you've done? You've created a problem for them. It's an obstacle. You've given the devil a tool because now you've educated a sinner to know what we're about without helping them make a decision to keep it. So now they're informed sinners to talk against us. Let me give you a really good illustration for that. In the New York conference, I was the personal ministries director there, and I started up a prison ministry. And the chaplain, who was a Baptist, just because I'm talking about a Baptist, I'm not trying to put a Baptist down. But he was a Baptist, and he did not like Seventh-day Adventist. And here's why he didn't like Seventh-day Adventist. He had HMS Richard Sr. give him personally Bible studies. And he didn't make a decision.
Is that a big Baptist guy?
No, HMS Richards is a big Seventh-day Adventist. He was the first radio preacher. He was in the 50s. He was like the most famous guy in all of Adventist church. He's like Doug Batchelor today. Exactly. It's like having Doug Batchelor give you studies and not saying yes. Well, he now was informed. I know HMS Richards knew how to make decisions. That's not my point. But he didn't make a decision. So the rest of his ministry, he was against Adventist. So when we inform people and they don't make decisions, they're no longer a positive, but they're a negative. Yes?
And I think what is actually happening psychologically with them is they're trying, as time goes on, to excuse, to justify the fact that they didn't decide.
Man, I'm going to have you preach my class the next time, because he was asking me about some conclusion, and I said, that's in a couple last slides. You're exactly right. No decision is a negative decision that makes a lasting impression. So when I give you a Bible study and I don't ask you for a yes, that lack of yes is literally a no. And I've created now this brainwave, this wrinkle in your brain, programming you to say no and allowing you to feel good about saying no. I don't want you to say no because I love you with all my heart. I don't want you to make the mistake. So I'm going to try to help program yeses. That's why the first rung of the ladder is, do you believe in the Bible? That's why the next rung of the ladder is even just as easy. I don't get to a hard, slippery rung until I get to the Sabbath and the state of the dead and these things. And that's why I have to make sure there's firm-footedness, that they're holding on tightly and they're saying yes to every single thing. It conditions people to listen and not respond. It lessens the importance of what you're saying. How important can it be if you haven't asked him to follow? Why are you even wasting your words? Ever seen Charlie Brown? Wah, 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 wah. Even the heart is aroused if there's no outlet to respond. The heart hardens. Obstacles to making decisions. There's lack of clarity and lack of understanding. You see, we can't ask somebody to make a decision without giving them the proper information. But are decisions made off of information or feelings? Both. But they do not exist without the other. Adventists are good with information, but we have to be good with the heart too. It helps them with their obstacles, relate a new truth to something they're familiar with. Here's an example. To keep the Sabbath is like dating your spouse. Friday night, we're going to have a date with Jesus, and we're starting our time together. Okay. When my children were little, I'm blessed with a good woman in my home. Now, she can get cranky, and she can do a lot of things wrong, but we all can. But there's some things that my wife has done right. And when our children were in our home Friday night, my wife put out, when they were little, 3-4 years old, white linen tablecloth that had been ironed, crystal goblets with homemade grape juice. We had the best meal of the week. Homemade sweet rolls. Whatever their food, they like chips and salsa. And I used to say, honey, they're getting the tablecloth dirty.
Praise the
Lord. Exactly. And she would just say, it'll clean up. And then I began to see my children coming and asking, when's Sabbath? 14 more minutes. When Sabbath? 2 more minutes. When Sabbath? Now. Yay! Little children jumping up and down because it's Sabbath. Instead of, is it Sabbath already? We can't do anything. I never experienced that. My wife would make sure that we had people over, fun activities. Sabbath was the highlight of the week.
Amen.
So, clear and set principle. I want to spend a little time with this. You want to ask, you want to understand. You want to understand. So let's just take the Sabbath, for example. So I ask you, have you ever studied the Sabbath before? Is it new to you? The answer could be, yes, it was new to me. I never knew all of this. Now I understand where they're at. You understand? Give me a clear and question, principle illustrated, so I can make sure that you're understanding it. Well, let's talk about...
What do you know about clean
meats? Okay, the unclean meats. Ask me. Is this clear, right? Somebody else, what's another clear and set principle? Rich, I'll pick on you. Let's say we just studied the state of the dead. How might you ask that?
Did you understand what we were talking about with the state of the dead? That we don't just go to heaven or to hell right away and burn there forever?
Okay. Very good, because you weren't prepared for that. You might want to say additionally, to even make that even more clear. So after we studied the state of the dead here, a lot of people think that when you die, you go to heaven, but the Bible's very clear, isn't it, that it's asleep. Now, I want you to notice something, what I just did. I said, it's very clear, isn't it? Rich did the same thing back to me. Rich, I'm sure it's not very clear, is it? Now, watch this. Watch this. Rich, I'm sure it's very clear, isn't it, that we... You're all confused now because my body language didn't match my words, right? Do you see how important it is to... Sorry to make you guys turn around. I'm just connecting, you know? Let me give you an example of when we're talking. Wait a minute before I do it. Because I don't... There we go. Make sure it smells minty here if I get too close.
So I wasn't worthy of that?
Oh, sorry, Rich. I trusted you. Whatever. I trust you too. But so when I'm leaning over like this and I'm looking you right in the eye and I drop my voice a little bit and I start to ask you a question. What's your first name again? Chris. Chris, this was the new truth today on the Sabbath. I'm sure it's bringing great joy, but yet it could also bring some conflict because you feel cheated. In all these years, you've served God with all of your heart, and you didn't know this wonderful truth that Jesus wants us to worship with Him on the Sabbath that He created in the Garden of Eden. But I'm sure that it's your heart's desire, isn't it, to keep His day and to worship Him, isn't it? You feel how powerful that is? When I lean over, my body language is saying, you're the only thing that's important to me right now. When I look them in the eye, it says that there's no fear. It's a tender moment. Forgive me, don't read into tender, you know, the wrong way. Because I love this person right here. I love Chris. She's a sincere soul. I've seen it all through our Bible study. I've seen it here. I've seen the Lord melt your heart. And I feel it. And I want to let Chris know that she's valuable. And so I lean into her. It's almost like a hug. It's saying, you're important. You're valuable. You're precious. No, if I do this, if I'm sitting there and I cross my legs and, you know. So, Chris, what are you going to do with the Sabbath? It's just not going to work. Oh, thanks, Tony. Now you got the notes up for me. I'm halfway through. But anyways... You're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to use your voice to change. You're going to have to focus, and you're going to have to use that. You know, I'm glad you brought that up, Elizabeth, because my father was basically orphaned when he was 13 years old. His mother and father, they drink a lot, they'd party a lot, and they would go different things. And one day during the summer, often one of them would leave on a drunken time, and they'd go have a party with another man or another, you know, relationship, and they'd come back and they'd fight and this and that. But one time they both left at the same time. And my father had his 3-year-old brother and his several-month-old sister in the house all by himself. And, you know, he had to take care of them, right? And my aunt, his oldest sister, I had met one time in my entire adult life. I was about 30 years old. Aunt Nancy, I met her there in the yard, Larry, down at Grandpap's house up by the hill. They tore that house down. It breaks my heart. My great-grandfather built it. My dad fixed it up. They bought it. They tore it all down. That's theirs. They can do what they want. But I had never met Nancy but once when I was in my teens. She was a beautiful woman. And Aunt Nancy called up my dad at the house and said, "Bob, I'm going to commit suicide, and I just want to make right things right with you. I haven't been a good person." She had been on drugs, had, I'm not getting it right, but 4 or 5 husbands or live-in men or whatever it was. And she just wanted to connect with her brother. And my dad had a saving relationship with Jesus, and he said, "Nancy, I know how you feel." And he told his story, his testimony. He said, "Nancy, before you do anything, I'd like to give as my personal friend," there it came back, "as my personal friend and savior." Nancy gave her heart to the Lord. And then he said, "Nancy, you live in California and I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and I work a lot. But my wife, Kitty, if you'd be willing, she'll give you Bible studies once a week." So my mom would call Aunt Nancy every week. At the end of the lessons, she said, "Nancy, you've accepted all these truths. You're a Seventh-day Adventist and you don't know it." Nancy said, "That's what I've been thinking." And my mom said, "Nancy, I'm going to research. I'm going to ask your pastor where the closest Seventh-day Adventist church." She goes, "You don't have to. Aunt Nancy was baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist church. Over the phone, Bible study. She's a Sabbath school teacher and she works, she's part of the Dorcas. Beautiful thing from that. So clear and set principle. Is it clear to you, no matter what topic it is it clear to you? Yes, it's clear. I'm surprised I didn't see this before. Question: would you like to start keeping the Sabbath now and experiencing its blessings? Here's some responses. And I want to teach you, share with you a technique. It's called FFF. This is one of the more important things. This goes a little bit bigger print. You leave some space around it. You put a star by it. You work with this because you need to memorize this. If I were giving you a final test, I would be asking you to write this down. It's FFF technique. And here's how it is. Somebody says, "I don't know, Pastor. I don't know if I can keep the Sabbath because I have a business. I'm going to lose all my friends. I'm going to lose my income." I understand exactly how you feel. Many others in the same situation have felt the same way, but this is what they have found. When have I given you an illustration that goes with this? Bob and who? Dana. Dana, I understand how you feel. Bob felt this same way, and here's what he found. Did that story help Dana to overcome his obstacle? Yes or no? Absolutely did. And what is that doing? It's moving from the information to the feeling. I don't want to always make decisions off of our feelings, but if you don't help people feel better about what they're working with, they can't make a decision on the information. I don't care if they're convicted of it. That's why sometimes very short evangelistic series aren't always the best. But if you do a short evangelistic series and you have a informational class that continues on, like you hold an evangelistic series and then you have a Bible class afterwards, you can help the people move from their information to align with their feelings through a relationship. I understand how you feel. Others have felt the same way, and here's what they found. You tell the story, rehearsing the great and mighty acts of God is almost in par with Scripture. Because Scripture is nothing more than rehearsing the great and mighty acts of God. There are portions that are words that are, and thoughts that have come down, but most of Scripture is telling the story how others have overcome. And here's how they felt. And here's what they found. If you want to know how someone felt, go to the book of Psalms and look at David's schizophrenia, bipolar situation that he went through. His emotions were all over the place. David felt the same way almost every single example that you can ever see. And he found out, and you can give the illustrations, but so many times you can give a story to help people understand how they feel and how others felt. And here's how they found out how to overcome it. F. Have that in your notes so that you can use it for the future. Here's some decisions questions. Is everything clear? What do you think you should do? I have to plow corn now, guys. You're going to get this, and you can. It's better if you go back and review and add up some of this even better. So what's keeping you from doing this now? Why not do it now? Are you willing to move forward? Man, I want to tell you what. You want to appeal to the cross of Christ crucified, talk and sing Him, do whatever it takes to win hearts. Okay, I want to talk to you how to make public appeals. Is there any lay people that have ever preached a sermon here? Is there any lay people that haven't preached a sermon that might be willing to in the future? Pastors, hold those hands up now. Pastors, look at the... Oh, put that hand back up, man. There you go, Pastor. Come on, get these guys. All right. So, public appeals just aren't for evangelistic series. Public appeals for Sabbath worship, Sabbath morning. Anybody ever teach Sabbath school here? Absolute good time to make appeals. Let me tell you what you need to start making appeal on every single Sabbath school. Total member involvement. Every single member of the church need to get off their lethargic butts and start talking about Jesus. Create an atmosphere for evangelism. Give people a chance to respond. Keep people from being a spectator. Have you noticed... I'm going to start unloading the secrets now. How many times have I had you raise your hand and participate today? What am I actually doing?
Engaging.
What is it? You said it earlier. I'm helping you make decisions. Action does what? Increases impression. Do you see what I want to do? I don't care if you understand it now, because I want you to understand it. Yes, Pastor, I'll do that. You're a little bit closer to actually doing it. Yes?
I found that teaching, you involve the students in your class. That way nobody falls asleep on
Okay, anybody ready to fall asleep? I'll come over and tap you on the shoulder too. Okay. So you keep people from being spectator, gives you interest to work with, increases baptism, give the Holy Spirit more. Here's some types of appeals for getting decision. And I'm going to get really going so we can have some time to have just a total Q&A time. But raise your hand anytime. Raising hands or standing. There's general appeals. It helps people become more comfortable responding. And let me just tell you, if any of you preach an evangelistic series or you want somebody to come up to the altar, that's the ultimate commitment. I mean, hey. But, okay, so Dr. LaBosse, work with me. Don't jump to this too quick. So I'm going to pretend that I want you to make a decision. You'll work with me here. So if I ask you to drop all of your prior history and become a Seventh-day Adventist, and I make you the appeal for you to walk forward right now, that quick, how easy is that going to be for you? Are you going to feel comfortable or uncomfortable?
Uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. So let me play a game with you with Dr. LaBosse here. Is there anybody here that have learned anything new this morning? I just want to thank you for being willing to listen to the Holy Spirit. Does anybody want to say yes to Jesus? Let's do this for real. Anybody here today want to say yes to Jesus? I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand up. Praise God for all blessings. Amen. 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 Anybody want to say amen?
Amen.
We have a group of people who said yes to Jesus. Now I'm only dealing with Dr. LaBosse now, just for illustration. He's tracking with me. I know he's got a doctorate degree, so he knows where I'm heading with this now. Is there anybody here today that hasn't made their full decision, would like to come over the line and declare their love for Jesus in such a way that they'd like to join God's final remnant movement? Come on up front. As the piano plays, we'll just pretend it's playing. As the piano plays, is there anybody? Come on up front. She wants to come. Come on, you know, don't play too hard. Oh, well, there you go. Okay, these guys know exactly what needs to be done. So he's having a hard time, so there's going to be some other people that are going to come up front and make it easier. But let me explain to you the psychology of this. It's too hard to stand up in front of everybody when everything's happening. So we stand up. Now, Maurice, you need to get out of the way. You need to tell him. You need to show him. Move out of the way, brother. Make it easy for him to get out of that row. If you're a church member, move aside. Let the path be clear. You see? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, he's not doing very well for me for my illustration. He should have been up here already. So I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. You go ahead and get back in there. You're a cranky old stubborn guy. So I'm bold enough and I'm creative enough. I'm going to come out here and I say, Dr. LaBosse, I know better than this. You know I have been studying this truth for a long time. And you told me the other day you're ready. Let's go, brother. Come on, man. And then if everybody didn't clap, I'm going to say, how many would like to say that Dr. LaBosse made a good decision here today?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, brother. All right, you guys can have a seat. That was your break for the next hour. There's a time of silent prayer. You can make an appeal by saying to people that you can pray. Elizabeth. Okay, so what's your point? They're here. Now I got something to work with. I don't care right now about that because if they didn't come up, we got no chance at all. Not everybody that came up will follow through. I'm not so naive to think that it's a perfect decision. But I'm going to tell you what, now I got something to work with. And I love them so much, I'm willing to risk that right now. I'm just going to tell you flat out, I'm not afraid of that. Angel came to my father's funeral, and I said to Angel, Angel, the reason why I ask you to be here is I want my father not to death to be in vain. I want you to make an appeal. And I want you to make it serious and hard. I might have made it even more. He was being sensitive to me, but he made an appeal. And guess who called me? I had a high school friend of mine who we used to drink together and party together, go to bars, and he was a good-looking young man. He got in a fight. He was just a scrapping young kid, and he got in a fight and had his eye poked out with a beer bottle, and he had a glass eye, and he had not parted his ways. He's still struggling, and he came up to me, Angel, afterwards. He was drunk at the funeral because he loved my dad, and he told me, your dad was the only guy that ever accepted me in this church. And he says, I wish I had done this while your dad was still alive. I want to give my heart to Jesus. But this is the one that will really blow your mind. There was a young girl at the funeral home who looked like Chris, all tattooed up, body piercing, spiked hair. And, I mean, being real honest, we look at Chris at first glance, we wouldn't know he's a Christian. He looks like a worldly dude. But Chris loves the Lord with all of his heart, and he's dedicated his whole life. He will sacrifice for people. He may be lazy at times about something here or there, but he's not lazy about a soul. Chris works hard. And here's this girl who embalmed my father. She's in gothic clothes. She's got tongue piercing, lip piercing, ear piercing. You can see belly button piercing through her clothes, big something ugly on there, whatever it was. I mean, this girl was a pincushion. And, you know, you look at somebody like that and you say, well, they're not interested. She called me up 2 days, days later, Angel, and said, I was impressed with the opportunity that you guys gave for anybody. You think Jesus would accept me? Amen. I prayed with that prickly, gothic pincushion, the sinner's prayer on the phone with her, to accept Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. She thanked me over and over and over. Appeals, music playing. Did you notice one time when I went up and got Gracie to play for a devotional or something? Because music helps us keep our mind focused to where we should be. We can use appeals for sensitive subjects, as more private decisions, the prayer, altar call. We demonstrated it here, decision cards. I'm skipping a lot of stuff. You can read it later. You know some of this stuff. The language of appeal. I want to spend a little more time with that. It needs to be very, very specific. All right, now maybe you haven't caught on. I'm asking you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal friend and Savior. If you're not real clear on that, I'm going to make it clear right now. Come on now. This is what I want. I'm not here to mess around, guys. I want you to understand the purpose of this meeting tonight is to say yes to Jesus. Be positive, not negative, not belittling. I can't believe you, moron. I'm exaggerating. Nobody's made their decision for Jesus yet. I understand what you're asking them to do. I should have probably rehearsed that with Dr. Avos so he came up sooner, but I wasn't clear. There's a good example. But if they come forward, when and where? I want you to come right up here, and we're going to have someone pray over you. And if you're wondering when, I'm talking about now. So come on home. Come on now. I'm excited now because you didn't come the first time. I'm going to ask you it again. If you aren't clear, tonight's the night to say yes to Jesus for the very first time. All right, maybe you've already said yes. Come on, let's everybody come. Right? Appeal to ask people to witness. This is one that every single one of you need to start using as soon as you go home. When you're in Sabbath school and you're not the Sabbath school teacher, can you make an appeal? Who can make an appeal? Someone. Anybody can make an appeal. If the devil's going to help make an appeal, then you need to counteract his work. So let's say Tim's teaching Sabbath school and Chris is sitting in that Sabbath school and Tim maybe didn't make it, or maybe your heart stirred. Yeah, you raise your hand just like you would for a question, and you say something like this. You know, class, I've been sitting here and I've been blessed today. And I've been impressed to say that I think we all need to do a little more for Jesus.
Amen.
Class, what do you think? Should we have a special project? Why don't we start praying together and call for the decision? Send the paper around to get people to sign up to start praying together. Don't wait for Tim to do it. Don't wait for, who's your pastor?
Pastor Gustavo.
Pastor Gustavo. Don't wait for Pastor Gustavo to do it, because he's never going to be upset with you because you organized a prayer group. Call for the decision. Are you willing to say, Lord, if there's someone who needs, and you go on and you'll see these. Combination of personal and public appeals, combining altar call and group prayer, have a special prayer room, questions, what is the most important thing to remember in helping people process to make a decision? I just asked you a question if you didn't know that. Ask, thank you. At least somebody's listening, Rich. Thank you, buddy. What's the most important thing to remember in helping people make a decision? Come on. If you do not ask, why would they answer? Here's the main point. To get a decision, you have to what? You see what I did? I set you up so that you would be prepared to answer. Did you catch that? Pastor, you're setting me up. I make no apologies. Because I want you to be able to do this. I want you to, my goal is for you to get the action in place, not just have the information. Did anybody feel offended with me doing that, leading you to come up with the right answer? Come on, be honest. Did it feel hard? Did you feel manipulated? Did you feel frustrated? Okay. You felt good about it. Because you knew the answer and you wanted to do the right thing, don't you? How many want to do the right thing? Come on. Okay. Okay, so we have to ask them. So let me talk to you about recognizing conviction. Is this guy convicted? Yes or no? It's yes or no. We don't know yet. He could be upset or he can be convicted and he's in fighting it. He can be just like downright antagonistic. So here, recognizing convictions. This is a quote. The most significant element necessary for a person to make true spiritual decision is the element of conviction. Here's where it comes from. Christ is the source of every what?
Right.
He is the only one that can implant in the heart enmity against sin. Every desire for truth, purity, every conviction is an evidence that His Spirit is moving upon hearts. I'm leaving silence for a minute on purpose. I want to drink, but it's for, I'm going to just drink because I want you to think about that for a minute. Remember, it's human effort with divine power. And I'm not negating divine power. It's the only way we're ever going to get a decision. Here's the indicators of conviction. They're balanced here on purpose. There's joy. They begin to share. Ever notice someone is brand new baptized, they're telling everybody? We call it the first love, right? Can't shut them up. They even doing it inappropriately. They overdo it. They offend people. And they just, you know, asking questions, positive attitude. They're glued to you during the study, the sermon. They're showing it. But it also can be tears, avoidance. They can even be angry, restful, irritable. That's the indication of conviction. Yes. Very good, very good. So, indicators of no interest or disinterest. No eye contact, no response, body language. What's some body language? Come on, Chris, help me out again. I want you to give some body language. You and I can both illustrate it. changing the subject. Yeah, yeah. So, Chris, do you want to keep the Sabbath and join the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Give a body language of yes. All right. Interested, smile. Hey, Chris, how about this Sabbath we baptize you, become a Seventh-day Adventist? Chris, I was hoping to have this baptism ready. I got your robe ready. It's over-exaggerated, but it's true. He doesn't want to look at me. He doesn't want to talk to me. He can't wait to get out of here. He's done. Is there anything I can do? Can I salvage this yet?
Yeah?
So I've got to figure out if it's information, is it emotional, what's the reason. So I'm going to start asking some questions. We're not going to deal with that now, but I wanted to deal with this first. So there's internal motivation. So how is this gained? How am I going to deal with this negative response? All right, thanks, Chris. I'll call you up later for some more stuff maybe. But let me ask you these questions. Oh, Chris, I should have had you already. Chris redid my slides and he put them all in the same one. I didn't want to give you the answer. So Morris Vinden asked, how many members have consistent devotions? And then he asked, how many, he got it two times in there. Okay. All right, the answer is 1 in 4. How many pastors have consistent devotions? 1 in 4. No, that's what it was. You know, pastor sometimes think that they're doing their devotions, preparing their sermon or whatever. Listen, we need to make a difference. My time with God and God's Word makes a difference. It motivates me and empowers me. Let me tell you why I'm so convicted in all of this, because I love Jesus with all my heart, and that happened from my study with Him. You have to do it, but I want to remind you that you don't wait to go out and give Bible studies because you feel unworthy. You go out and give Bible studies because Jesus is worthy. And you may even be not converted and you've got sins in your life and open rebellion or whatever. You know, that's going to be a tough one, but I rather studies. Just don't misrepresent. Don't try to encourage in sin. But I'm going to tell you what, God, it's God's can do... You like to make an appeal? All right, here you go.
To everybody here. I've been really convicted.
She's been convicted.
About how much I need to get. And I feel I've turned a lot of people off. And I just, this has been one of the important Adventist thing that I've ever attended. I'm so glad I came.
Amen.
I didn't really want to come because I thought, oh, the Bible session. I've been to two of them already. And I just don't pass it. I get one. We're from a real frugal family. We don't spend money.
He just said, I really want you to come. And I thought, well, you know, even if it's a waste of time, I'll meet new people and that'll be fun. But I just really feel a real need to know him better so I can help.
Okay, sister, I love you. I want you to make this appeal strong and don't mince any words. Tell us what you want us to do.
Well, just everything we've learned, you know.
Do it. Right?
Do it.
Sister, I'm going to help you.
Amen.
I'm going to take it a step further. How many heard my sister give her testimony?
Amen.
Turn around, stand up, turn around. Come on now. I'm going to tell you what to do, not because I'm being bossy, but because I think it'll be a benefit for you. How many want to do what she just asked us to do?
Amen.
Sister, you just made an appeal and you made a difference for the kingdom of God.
Praise
all right, thank you. That's an appeal right there. And you know why it was powerful? Because she meant it. Yep, you can. Did it motivate you?
Yep.
Did it empower you?
Yes.
That's what we've got to do. You ready to hit a home run, Mountain View Conference?
Amen.
Can you hit a home run unless you get up to the plate?
No.
Are you going to win a soul for Jesus if you don't give a Bible study? Man, I can't wait. I've hit a few home runs before, and you know what? That doesn't make any difference because I got to be working to the future now. I can't go off of, nobody's going to hire me to be a baseball player because I used to hit home runs. Ain't Dominicans here? You guys know about baseball.
Yep.
They don't hire has-beens. They hire people that's willing to swing in the future. I want to hit a home run for Jesus.
Amen.
I can't put it in a better format because I'm human. A Bible study in a soul is not a home run. I'm using human words to project angelic vision. I'm placing you in a place. Now I'm starting to tell you what I'm doing so that you understand so you can do the same thing. I'm helping you see it so you can do it. I'm helping motivate you to encourage you to want to participate. Anybody want to play ball yet? You want your heart on fire for Jesus? I want to be on fire for Jesus. And I'm going to tell you a secret. You can't do it by studying your Sabbath school lesson and sitting on the pew listening to the pastor's sermon alone. The spark can be simmering and it can be smoking. But unless you've won a soul for Jesus, forgive me, I'm going to say it, you've never been on fire for Him. I've made that statement before, and one old lady told me that I was harsh and judgmental, and I didn't know her heart. She's loved Jesus all her life. She was convicted. I agree with you. Put your money. Go ahead. Go ahead. WD. I call him WD to mess with you. I call him Slick, WD-40. Yes, sister. We need to move from believing to doing. So if Mount View Conference was on fire, how would we prove it? By telling someone about who? And then if we tell them about Jesus, we'll work with them long enough to get a what? So ask them. So spend time daily with God. What if you don't do it every day? Does God still love you? Do you quit giving Bible studies or inviting somebody because you fell off the horse? Come on. Yes or no? No. Thank you, Tim. Thank you. No. I'm not perfect, and neither are you. You never will be. Sorry, I'm going to explode that theology. This perfectionism is a doctrine of the devil himself. When we fall in love with Jesus with all of our heart, it's the closest we'll ever be to perfection right there. Because we will serve Him and we will love Him and we will do everything because we love Him. If we're doing all the right things without the right motives, it isn't right anyways. There's going to be a lot of people in heaven who are doing some wrong things. But it's because of sins of ignorance. And God judges accordingly. He doesn't judge by your standard or mine, even though I have all these wonderful theological degrees. It doesn't mean anything what I think. It only matters what God thinks. And God's in the business of saving people for the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
There's going to be a lot of people there who you think aren't worthy. But Jesus is going to say, you were worthy because you loved me with all of your heart. You accepted me. You did some things wrong, but I know your heart, and nobody else knows you like I know you. And I welcome home, sinner. Welcome home.
Amen.
That's what covering blood is all about. But the more we are covered with His blood, the more we want to do what's right. It's a cycle. It's a process. That's why it's called sanctification. The work of a lifetime. I'm going to tell you something really revealing. When I was a young man, I'd been drunk 8 years straight, not one moment of sober time. I woke up with a beer or a Little King's Jenny Cream Ale in my boot by the bed so I could reach down and grab it, because I wouldn't have a headache if I drank a beer before I got out of bed. And then I'd be good all day, and I'd start drinking slowly, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, wherever. And I was so drunk all the time and I could drive and I could walk. This is sad, isn't it? Never got caught. And one of my friends asked me when I quit drinking, are you taking drugs or something? Because I changed. No, Why do you think? I said, I'm sober. Man, that's what's wrong with you. And then I started colporting. And I started selling books for Jesus. And I listened to this really crazy music. It was Christian rock and roll. I mean, like, sound like AC/DC and sound like Black Sabbath, but it was Christian words. And I'm going to tell you right now that my heart was pure, it was right, and if I listened to the stuff now, it would offend me, and I wouldn't like it, and it doesn't minister to my soul, but I want to tell you with every ounce of conviction that it blessed me in that point of my life. I was a young person who was growing in the grace of Jesus Christ. You know, I had somebody call me up and tell me, it was camp meeting going to be like last year? I said, no, I hope it's better. And it should always be better, right? And I said, why do you ask? He says, well, he said, I thought I was in the bar room. I said, really? He said, yeah, there was some of that music. It was like, I thought it was AC/DC. I said, I must have missed that meeting, I said. Anybody hear AC/DC at camp meeting last year? You heard the song. Yeah, because I talked to you guys about it. You were there the day that happened. And they know the musician very well. Elaine does. I just told you who it was. Jimmy sang Country Road, Leaving Home, but with the Christian version that he ran. That's what they're talking about. It was Pastor Jimmy Buchanan's song. And I was like, really? You didn't hear it that way, did you? It was because it was ridiculous. But my point being is, that was harsh, critical, rude, judgmental, and they have no idea what they're talking about. When I was that young man, I was 100% committed. I turned my life around. I had just the year before stole a car, robbed a business, sold drugs, drank alcohol, smoked dope, took drugs, snorted drugs, beat up people. And now I'm selling books for Jesus, and I've got my whole heart and life turned around. And I'm listening to some music that's a little bit offensive to someone, but I'm going to tell you what, it ministered to my soul for a few months. And then my taste started changing. Then somebody introduced me to Amy Grant back then. And I liked her. And it sounded good, and so I started listening to that instead. Then a little later, I started listening to Gaithers. Then I started enjoying hymns. I even started to enjoy classical music. Oh, my goodness. My tastes were changing. That's what happens when the Spirit comes into our life. But I want to tell you, I was perfect in God's eyes listening to that crappy, trashy, junky, supposed Christian music. God loved me so much, He accepted me just where I was. Yeah. Spend time with God daily. So I want to ask you a question. I'm coming home to what we're talking about now. I want to ask you a question. What's your attitude? Sometimes, oh, good. Sometimes we have to change our attitude, don't we? But I want to explain to you, is anybody a pilot here? Oh, boy, you're going to... Well, I often have to ask that because I'm not a pilot, and I may not describe it perfectly, but I've got the concept, so I'm going to talk to you about that. I've flown a plane too, but I don't have a pilot's license. The pilot was my friend, let me flow. Half a dozen times I've done that. But one thing I learned was this. I want to head to this town that's straight north. But the wind's blowing this way, So I have to set my attitude properly. Because I have this pressure pushing me this way, if I just put my compass on head on straight north and point my plane there, I'm going to be blown off course. And if the farther it is, I can be hundreds of miles off course. So I have to set my attitude right, and I have to adjust accordingly. And my plane may be pointed east or northeast east or east northeast, whatever it is. And it looks like I'm heading there, but I'm really heading there. If you were to ask from an outside observation, where's that plane heading? They're going to Chicago. No, they're not. They're going to Colorado. Because their attitude is adjusted in order to get where they want to be. You see, we don't always understand what gale-forced winds are in people's lives. And they have an attitude adjustment to get there. But sometimes, now I'm switching attitude in a different word. Sometimes the biggest attitude that needs to be adjusted is our mental attitude. When I first came to the church, the dear for the to Mike. Wouldn't it have been sad if I was discouraged? Kingdom of Heaven. I've been in the ministry for 35 years. I've seen miracles. Someday just give a miracle testimony session and just share with you the great and mighty acts of God, of how God has been able to use me. About some of the baptisms and some of the things, the healings. I've seen healings. I saw a baby brought back to life. I just love to tell you those stories. Wouldn't it be sad if one soul was lost for the kingdom, but this soul has been used by God to help many other souls? You can look at me and it's easy to know that I'm not perfect. But God has used me. Do you want to be used?
Amen.
Have you felt that way before? I've felt that way too. And this is what I found.
Amen.
To some, it may look like we're heading in the wrong course, but in reality, we're right on track. Who said yes? Brother, thank you. How many here is willing to commit to start asking every chance they get, no matter where they're at? Will you stand for that?
Amen.
Let's get a group picture of all the people up front that's willing to ask. You willing to come forward? Let's get a group picture, Tony. What is your attitude? Where are you heading? Will you adjust and stay on course to reach God's potential for you? Anybody want an attitude adjustment? Come on now. Are you willing to ask other people to do it? Come on now. Let's come up front. Let's get this picture together. Come on. Who's going to take the picture? Barry. All right. Good, man. Get a couple good pictures. Come on. Come on. And as soon as we're done, we're gonna have some Q&A. So let's do this quick. We've got to get pictures. We're going to let Barry get these. I want you in this picture because you're important to me, brother. You see what I just did? I told him what to do because I love him. I didn't push him. I didn't ask him to do something he didn't want to do. I said, let's get in the picture because I love you. Come on, friends. Let's get in the picture. Let's start asking. Amen? You guys have just made a commitment, an altar call, to come forward to ask every friend, family, neighbor, loved one that you know of because you want to see them in the kingdom of heaven. Come on now, right? If you go out and do this now, I'm affirming you and I'm telling you right now, you've made a good decision. Don't be worried about the fear that you have because God will take care of all the fears. I don't care if you're afraid. All I care is that you do it. Can God help you through your fears? Yes or no?
Yes.
How many here believe that they can win a soul for Jesus through their efforts, through His power?
Amen.
There's 82 new souls for the kingdom. Before the new year, if we'll only do it.
Amen.
If you ask any good thing in His name, is He going to give it to you?
Amen.
What good thing do you want to ask?
We have to ask God.
We have to ask God. What good thing do you want to ask for? One soul for Jesus?
Amen.
You want to ask for more? Go for it. I don't care. I just want to at least see one.
We can't live in
Tim. But we got to start with one. They're almost ready for a picture.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, brother, go ahead, man.
We gotta wait for Harry.
Tell him.
Harry.
We're ready for a picture, Harry. Come on up. You willing to work for Jesus? All right. Yes. Just give us one more, amen? Hey, guys, are we on a mountaintop? Yes. But we've got to continue on. We got to ask. You can't give up on this process.
We need to ask for West Virginia.
Let's claim West Virginia, my friend. All of Mountain View. All of Mountain View. There's 1.7 million people, and if we start asking them, some more people are going to be in the kingdom of heaven. There we go. The whole Mountain View Conference is our parish.
Well,
and Florida and Pennsylvania. Where's Pennsylvania? Come on, I know. There's Pennsylvania. There's Ohio. Where's Ohio? Come on, where's Ohio? And Ohio. That's my home state. I still love it. Let's take a picture.
I appeal to you. Please join us in the picture.
Yes, thank you. I actually was going to need it. Tofu.
Mountain View.
You just pushed the button.
Soul.
Did you get him, Barry?
Yeah.
Okay, let me use your shoulder. Oh, amen. Okay, go to your seats real quick. I want to do some Q&A time with you before lunch. Oh, no. Everybody wants to eat.
Statistic here.
Figure out the statistics. There's 1,500 non-Adventists to every one Adventist in West Virginia.
There you go. Yeah, I just need... there you go.
We'll get your phone.
Your remote went someplace.
Well, I don't...
It was on here.
Oh, it got moved to here. Somewhere. So they put it on the table.
What are you looking for?
The remote. Yeah. All right. All right. Let me have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, there's a culmination of a lot of things that we're learning coming to completion here. And I want to ask in the name of Jesus that every decision that was made, that we'll have the courage to put it in our why statement, in our commitment statement, that we're going to put in a predominant place, whether it's in our Bible or on the fridge or in our bedroom or the bathroom mirror. Because the devil's like a roaring lion, and we know that you're out to stop us from keeping our convictions and our commitment. And we need to be reminded. We need to hold each other accountable. That's why we set up a monthly meeting, so that we can talk and pray and learn and be revitalized. And we can readjust our attitude where we're heading. Lord, help us to keep our eye on the mark. The only reason that I even exist is to win souls for Jesus. I know that. You've placed that conviction upon my heart. I'm not here to entertain. I'm not here to just be nice. You've called me to teach others, to tell others about your son Jesus. I know my calling. Help me never to get discouraged or off track. When my attitude is poor, lift me up. When our attitudes individually in this room are poor, shake us up. Not only forgive us, but realign our attitudes for us if we're not able. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so everybody come on in and sit down. We got a couple minutes and if you have a question, someone else may have a question, and it'll help out others in this process. And if we don't have to go any further. But are there any questions that are out here that somebody might want to know that I haven't made clear? Or you just have a Elizabeth. Okay, yes. Who has a question? Okay, right there.
Okay, so we have talked about surveys as one way to find interests. are there other things circulating in people's minds as how to...
Yeah, I'll tell you a whole bunch of ways to get a Bible study. The best way, and it should be our first option, friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers. And that's the one that we are the laziest on, because we're afraid of rejection. But who better do you want to see in the kingdom of heaven than your family and your friends? So get off your butt and tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't want to offend them. Whoever thought that right now, I'm going to tell you that there are going to be more people slide all the way to hell on their butts, B-U-T, than anything else. Yeah, but. It's nothing more than an excuse. Okay, so your son or your daughter, your nephew, your cousin, your aunt, your uncle said no. They're not going to hold you hostage for the rest of your life and not let you eat breakfast never again or anything like that. They may not like it. They'll get over it. Your family. You don't become obnoxious. You just ask them. You'd be surprised how many will say yes. And you're going to have to ask a few. And if when you exhaust all those, you go to your pastor and you ask him to give them some of the leads they have. They have more than Abner. Where's Abner? You got any leads?
100.
Okay. Yeah. You know, what about you, Jimmy? You got any leads? Not as much. You're following up on all of them. You got any extras? Any extra leads? Yeah. No, you're following up on all of them? Oh, you're already taking people. That's why. But you'll get some more in the future. Yeah. Yeah. What about Parkersburg, Maurice? You got any extra leads?
We don't have the extras.
Because we got people following them up. I went on a few that hadn't been followed up yet. There's always going to be more coming. You got two while you're here? Oh, okay. There's going to be more. So there's not going to be any excuses for somebody not having a lead to follow in the future. You know why the Lord hasn't given us more? Because we weren't able, we didn't need them yet. If we need more, God will give us more. So that kind of answers that. Any other questions about the process or anything like that? This is good news. I think you might have got it. Yes, question right here. Quick. There's the mic.
Okay. Let's say you got somebody, you know, sort of interested in a Bible study. And they said, I got on YouTube last night. And there was a ex-Seventh-day pastor that was pastored for 22 years, and now he says he's not a Seventh-day Adventist. Ellen White was a false prophet, and you don't have to keep the Sabbath no more. What would you say to that?
So let me ask you the question. Say you're the person that does that. I'd say, you believe everything you hear on the internet?
I know I don't.
Oh, you don't? Well, then why would you believe that?
Yeah, good.
Okay, we're done. I'm going to move on. You know. I was telling somebody earlier today, and I really did this just for fun. They were talking about something that was on the internet, and I said, did you know I was a French model? Yeah, it was on the internet. They said I was a... That don't mean it's true. I'm not French and I'm not a model, but I could put it on the internet and said I am, and does that make me a French model? Yeah. You know, we got to teach people to think for themselves. We got to challenge them.
Amen.
You believe everything everybody tells you? And they say, well, I believe this. I'll say, the contract says you owe me $500. Well, that's not true. Well, why don't you believe that? I can go put that on the internet. See, you know, that's how you deal with these things. And the truth is, some people just aren't going to listen. And you know what the Bible says to do? Don't waste your time. Let's find somebody that's interested. Chris, you just went to somebody the other day, and just after a couple of visits, they said they wanted to join the Seventh-day Adventist Church. DW, you went, come on up real quick. Now, we're going to finish quick, but I still want you to tell this story quick. You went to a Bible study. You got a lead from the interest generator, and it was a lady.
Yes.
And what did she say to you?
The lady with
the Sabbath.
Yeah, they believed in the Sabbath already.
What did she say to you? She said, I only want to take this lesson if?
If you don't have church service on Sunday. You see, what had happened was they immediately asked me if we had church services. Like, she was already interested in coming to the church that day. So, like, I tried to kind of avoid the question at first, and then the Holy Spirit said, just tell her. So I said, well, actually, we have services on Saturday, and she said, praise the Lord. And what was interesting was the very first study, she invited her neighbor to come over. And she said, praise the Lord also. We've been looking for a Sabbath-keeping church.
Okay, DW, this is my class now. Go on.
All right.
Take that with you. I couldn't resist that. I just wanted to do that because DW, he's got a lot of good stuff to share with us. You know, I heard somebody say one time, I don't need to take a class from this guy. I taught him. No, we're not talking about DW. No. No. So I heard a mature say, I don't need to take his class because I taught him. Well, Tony and Chris were up here and said, I taught them most of what they know. But I still want to learn from them. Because if I can add one new little thing that helps me, right? Right? Yeah, a question here. Two questions. Or comments. I don't know what it'll be.
Yes. Sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't know you had your hand up.
Oh, ladies first.
That's
okay,
because you're not looking at me. So, my question is, I've been studying with this person for some time, and we covered the Sabbath. But she still hasn't made a decision. And, you know, I waited a little bit of time, and then, you know, on a different study that I could bring it up again, I asked her, you know, how she feels about the Sabbath, you know, and has she made a decision to keep the Sabbath. She still works on Sabbath. She has a hair salon. And so she said to me this, I'm just waiting for like a for like the Lord to just speak to me and just give me more revelation.
So Elizabeth, let me answer it quick because I get it. So can I share a mistake that you made publicly?
Sure, absolutely, because I lack experience.
Here's the mistake that you made in giving that Bible study. You went on to another lesson without getting your foot firmly on the Sabbath. You need to restudy the Sabbath another time or in another time until she's worked that through.
Okay.
You can't climb the ladder any further because she's not on a firm foundation already. Let me give you an example in my life where I did it right. And I've done a lot of things wrong, but I did this right. Edna Martin, a Mennonite. I got a picture. Matt's seen it in my office. A couple of you have seen the picture. She's in her bonnet and all that. She was baptized. She was the very first person that I ever had the privilege of having a part of her baptism. I was in college, going to school. And I sold some books, and we ended up baptizing her. At the end of the study on the Sabbath, she said, well, I just don't see that. So we studied six or seven weeks on the Sabbath before we went to the next level. And finally, she accepted it. It was smooth sailing from there on out. Everything now presented was easy. And she was baptized and joined the church. So when we are, no matter what, that's why it's important to make the appeal on that one and ask the qualifying question, clear and set, every single thing. If they're not clear, you're not set yet. You need to... Now, you just need to keep going right now and love and work with her. But if you would study the Bible long enough until she's clear on the Sabbath, everything will be better for her. Because now, the truth is, you should probably go back and do another study with her from the beginning so that everything is clear. Because all these other things, you don't have a foundation because she's conditioned that of question not being clear, and the Sabbath isn't there. So all these other things that you've studied since then, well, they're there. She may believe them, but you're not set on each one. So the best way, so next time how to do it better would be to continue studying the Sabbath and say, you may say, but I don't know what to do. That's what you have a pastor for. Ask him to help you to come to the next one to help you with that study a little bit further. That's my answer. William.
Yeah, this is a little bit different. I was just thinking about the things we were talking about, you know, as far as wasting our time on people that are not really interested, you know. I found that, and this goes back to what you were teaching today about asking. When we ask God to lead us to those who are really interested, God will lead us to those people, you know. And because we're told that we're supposed to be doing what Philip did with the Ethiopian. He was already studying the scriptures, but he lacked understanding. And God allowed Philip to go to him, and we're told that's our position in this world at this time. And so when we pray, God, give us somebody who's looking towards heaven, waiting to be gathered in, lead us to that person. God will do it. I remember when I was doing Bible work that God led me to this lady, and I knocked on a door. And this was the second time after I dropped the lesson off the first time. The second time I went there, she pulled me into the apartment, and she said, "You'll never believe what I've been learning." She said, "I've been just watching this little," somebody called him a little bald guy. She said, "I've been watching this guy, and you know what? Saturday's the Sabbath, you know?" And I just stood there, and she gave me a Bible study on the Sabbath, you know? And that lady joined the church, you know?
I pray we all get some of those easies. Let's have prayer for lunch, and we can go over and fellowship together. Have you been fed today?
Amen.
Let's go get fed physically now. Let's pray. Your Father in heaven, I ask in the name of Jesus that you'll help us to not only understand, but now put into practice some of these things. We pray in the name of Jesus that you'll bless our food, help us to be healthy and strong, help us to be encouraged, motivated, and act and follow through with our convictions, the ones that we're writing down, the ones that we're planning on. Now we just have to do. Help us grow this conference so that we can have more people to tell others about Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you in the line.